Season 2, Episode 35, and we have a change-up for you guys.
Very exciting podcast this week. Yam House, hour and 20 minutes. It's six dudes on a shotgun table talking about the start of their band and how it all came together. It's phenomenal. But we got
Zach, we got Seth, Jake, and Lawrence, the full band. There's six of us in that shotgun-style table. It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. We unpack their story. We really go deep into the music industry and everything. And we really wanted to just get that message across right away.
It's a very important podcast. They have been very impactful for us, and we're going to continue to collaborate with them. So we wanted to give you that full hour 20 of just Yam House.
Yep. So typically for the new listeners and for the old listeners, you know, thank you for being here. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Back Pocket. Love to have you here. We call ourselves entertainers. We're a show. So when we first start our podcast, typically you hear us for about 10 minutes and then we get into our interview and then you'll hear us again wrapping up the show. This week, because of it is a change up podcast, you won't get much of either of that on the front or back end of us. You'll just get Yam House. We're stoked to the max about it.
Since we're not giving you a personal content, we want to talk about ourselves for about 30 seconds. Little update. We have shirts full live on yourbackpockets.com. That's with an S, yourbackpockets.com.
Yep, and then click on the store tab, so yourbackpockets.com/store. We got our shirts in line. Nice, white, high thread count shirts with our logo on the front. They're looking fly as heck. You can go and find us on, they're on our website, obviously. Instagram, we're doing giveaways. Facebook, anywhere pretty much. On this podcast, it's going to be in the show notes if you guys are really curious. Get after it.
I love it. I love what we're doing. I love Yam House. Thank you, Yam House. We really do appreciate the hour 20 you gave us. Some really cool content. So intro music, it's your time to shine.
Let's get it. I'm just an ordinary average guy. My friends all are boring. And so am I. We're just ordinary average guys.
Awesome. Well, this is Yam House. We have Zach, Seth, Jake, and Lawrence here. We're very excited. The first time we have six people recording into three mics.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's a very unique experience.
Yeah, and there's just going to be a ton of energy thrown out here.
Yes.
If any YouTube listeners are watching right now, they're probably just stoked out of their minds because it's just six knuckleheads at a shotgun-style table.
Heck yeah.
Ready to talk.
Yeah, the boys are just ready. The boys are buzzing.
Slamming the sparkling waters.
We're bellied up at the bar, slamming sparkling waters. Phenomenal. Well, let's get right into it. We kind of talked a little off-air about this question, and it's a question that we ask all our guests, and you probably heard it a multitude of times on the podcast because we know you guys are avid listeners, avid marketing interns.
We love the Back Pocket Podcast.
Collectively, we'd like to hear, what is your average quality?
Hmm. Should we say it all in unison at the same time?
That sounds very prepared.
No, you can do the countdown again because I wasn't ready.
One, two, three.
Falling forward.
that sounds so nice.
So it's falling forward. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, yeah.
So falling forward is an idea that I'll start that we, as a team, a lot of times we'll be like meeting about stuff and trying to review or like, hey, what are we planning next or what are we trying to do? And a lot of times we find ourselves saying, well, let's just keep falling forward. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came from a lot of things that organically happened, but we realized it's the principle of like whatever happens, make it work. So like even if you planned it, even if you didn't plan it, if it goes how you planned, if it doesn't go how you planned, just like keep going. Sort of a mentality that we have, but you guys should elaborate too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like we were very cooped up in terms of what we could and couldn't do with this process of like getting music out and booking shows and like all the things that we like as like people that invested in this project wanted to like begin to like taste and figure out like, all right, how are we gonna make this thing run? And once we got like the green light, we're like, all right, we're just gonna do this thing. It was like just sprinting ahead, having no idea, no experience, and like no insight of what was going to work, what wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But we just like made everything work, and some things like went poorly, and like there's some regrets of things that we could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that were like, man, if we didn't have like just the audacity to like keep moving, it's easy to get caught up in the things that held you back. But at the same time, like those are the experiences that we've learned from, which have been super, super helpful. And I think it's like, especially how fast everything moves with content and like just the shelf life of things, like just keep creating, just keep moving, just keep going forward, whether or not it's like your best product or not, or like your most proud work or not. Like if you take a day off and just like too zoomed in on one thing, like, you just got to keep moving.
And early on, that basically looked like us booking as many shows as we possibly could, where that wasn't the norm for, like, the bands that were kind of surrounding us and what we were seeing happen. It was kind of a norm for, like, bands to book shows, like, once every other month or once every 3 months. And we kind of just got into this mindset of, like, okay, we have our music ready to play. You know, we have our gear, you know, ready to go. And we kind of just started booking as much as we could. And so sometimes we were playing, like, two shows in the same week in the same area. Sometimes three.
Yeah.
And just really, like, kind of hitting it.
We get scolded.
Yeah, well, so one time, this is a negative outcome of Falling Forward. We were going to play 1st Avenue, well, 7th Street Entry, 1st Avenue. For the first time or second time?
It was one of those, his first or second.
But we were in an opening slot, and we had been asked to play, so we were planning on it on a Tuesday, and then I think we had another show that Friday. Is that right? Or the next day, even.
Or did we announce our album release show?
Yeah, we announced
it. Yeah, that was it.
That's what it was, which is actually like 4 weeks out, because we wanted to make sure that one was announced.
Mm. And so we announced our album, a huge show coming up for the summer, the day before we were going to play at
this
venue.
Or the day before.
The day before.
Yeah, and so, which is really like not a great move, marketing-wise, because then you're splitting people's attention, and they could be like, oh, I could see Yam House tomorrow, or I could see them at this really big show like a month or two from now. You know, so it just was like us not realizing like the impact that it would have in the moment. And our friend James Taylor, shout out James Taylor, at First Avenue, who's a booking agent there, he kind of sent us an email and was just like, hey man, you know, not cool for announcing this show.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments
props
where
props to him, cause,
yeah,
like,
it was good, it was really good that he
and we learned.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was one of those moments where we're like, okay, we are just booking so much, we have to find room to like announce the shows and the things that we're up to. Yeah. But it was almost like a little too much, or just maybe not the right strategy. And so we did get a little bit of like a, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that next time. And it turned out fine. The show was great. People still came and everything like that. Yep. But it was definitely a good learning moment for the Falling Forward thing.
That's a great point when you talk about, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but honesty. We've been in the same situation where we send someone over some garbage, dude. Like, just stuff that isn't checking out, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't go well. And that's a time for Andrew and I to really, like, reset and be like, okay, let's do this 100 times better than what we just did. It really, like, wakes you up a little bit.
Yeah.
And another thing you touched on, too, was, like, marketing. When you go into these things and you work so hard to produce an album, which we can get into a little later on the logistics of that, but ultimately it's not easy. And like, but the marketing is just as crucial as the production, which is crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you guys are bringing that to light, which is phenomenal. So,
and also like mentioning that you got to continue to take action is so important. I mean, we've gotten that message time and time again through all the people that came on our show, whether it's like they phrase it as purposeful action, like like just like, okay, it might not be the right thing to do, but figure out why you're doing it and just move forward, because you'll make a mistake and then you'll reflect on it, but then you'll move forward. And that's been a sweet theme that we've gotten. So, way to start off the podcast with a right on average quality.
Yeah, it's falling forward, but failing forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who writes that book?
Good.
Oh, that's a book.
Yeah, it's a book. You have it in your
Fail until you don't.
Failing until you don't by Bobby Bones, but there's also Failing Forward by someone.
I think it's maybe you.
Yeah, you write it?
Did you write that book?
I've heard.
Yeah.
So I wrote a book. shout out to me being a book writer.
Yeah, yeah, sweet.
I have a blog. I write a blog, yourbackpockets.com. One blog every week for me. So something to think about. One blog, everyone knows the rules.
But let's touch on individually a little story that you can give me a little background, or our marketing interns a little background about yourself. So we'll start with you.
Yeah.
And we will.
Zach. This is Zach. We're talking.
We'll go through the instruments of every single person and maybe a little background of how you maybe met or just yourself.
Well, I play bass in the band, but I've played drums my whole life. Lawrence was doing a gig one time and needed me to, he didn't have a bass player. I was like, man, I need someone to play the bass. And I knew how to play guitar, so he told me to learn it by the weekend, and I did, and it ended up working well. And now I love playing.
And now he's a bass player.
Now I play bass.
He used to be just the guy who grabbed the bass, but now he's a bass player.
But actually, Lawrence and I used to play hockey together.
Yep.
We played for Hudson, which is like right over other side of the river.
Okay.
And we were both on the varsity team, but I was a senior and he was a sophomore. And he was a punk.
Go on.
I did not like Lawrence. When we met, I thought he was...
Let's go there. Let's go there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. So we had, like one time sticks out that, like, we were losing to a team that we should have been losing to. And, like, Lawrence, like, the, like, positive guy, like, stood up and was like, come on, everybody, like, you need to work harder. And I, like, got up and just, like, got so... I got in your face pretty bad. But now here we are doing a podcast, like, how many years later?
Much more mature.
Yeah, yeah. So the relationship started off rocky, but once we started playing music together and,
good times.
Okay.
That's sweet.
But I was going to comment. You guys are St. Thomas guys?
Yes. Yeah.
I went to St. Thomas for a year and a half.
That's right. You played receiver at St. Thomas, right?
I did, yeah. I got recruited to play there, and then I went to play at lacrosse for a bit. And then to research, dude.
Research.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I'm scared.
So you're 24 right now?
I'm 26.
26.
Yeah, I'm the grandpa of the band.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the oldest one.
So you played with, let me see if I can get Fritz Wahlvogel.
I do know Fritz.
Oh, yep. You played
with... He was older than I was.
Matt O'Connell?
Quarterback? The, yeah.
Or was it Dakota Tracy?
No, it was Matt. Because Dakota was like he was like as I was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I don't know if you know Brady Irvin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Bachelor.
Bachelor.
He's such a very hot man.
Yeah. So I knew that career actually because my older brother played football at St. Thomas.
Oh.
So I knew like the Brian Villars and like the Brady Irvins and those guys just because of my older brother.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We had just had Coach Crusoe on. And
he, oh, right on.
Yeah. He delivered some great content.
Yeah,
for us.
He's a good content dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Right. So, Seth, we'll kick it to you now.
Yes. I grew up in Hudson. I play electric guitar, lead guitar.
Nice.
Kind of picked it up in college. I was like super focused on school all the way through, like finishing out.
Where'd you go to school?
U of M.
Gotcha.
University of Minnesota.
I was going to be a doctor.
I was still Dr. Could. Bloom.
Mm-hmm. You still could. That's right. Doctor, that's what I said. I said, we can go for this rock and roll thing. You can go back when it fails, or if it fails.
when it
fails. It's just like 8 years.
Yeah, Lawrence is the positive guy.
Even after you make it, you can still become doctor.
Go back,
That's true. Honestly, I don't think I'd go back if I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what happened, but.
Don't worry about it.
Hey.
I'm here right now, and I'm enjoying it.
Sweet. Lead guitarist. How'd you get into becoming the lead guitarist at the Ham House?
That's a good question. I met Lawrence in high school, played a lot of music together, sang choir together.
Yeah, that's right.
Shared a lot of...
what did we share?
Special moments.
That's right.
Writing songs together in his basement next to large elephant leaves.
Yeah, elephant ear plants.
Yep.
We were like in Minneapolis like recording like little demo
bad
tracks.
Demos.
And, like,
yeah, we should give you guys old really bad demos.
Like years ago, yeah.
We can actually play those bad demos.
Ooh.
Like in the background of this conversation.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be so good.
But we just like been connected for a long time, sharing music, and
nice.
Then it wasn't until recently when this project came up, I was on a totally different track. Like I'm gonna go like PA school or med school was like my next step, graduating college. Mm-hmm. And right before I was graduating, Lawrence called me and said, like, all right, it's time to like do this. This is it. Like, if we're gonna do it, now's the time. This is
mm-hmm.
this is the opportunity. This is the right people, the right team, the right vision. And so, I talked to my wife, and I was like, "All right, like, are we gonna do this and like not hold back? Like, this is gonna be plan A, no plan B for as long as we can make it happen." So, that was like 3 years ago, almost.
Yep, took a blood oath. Took a blood oath.
So, tapping into this real quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned wife, so you are husband.
Oh, yeah.
Which is bananas and
light
years ahead of my mindset and a lot of 22-year-old people's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it sounds like, I mean, you wanted to be a doctor. You were super committed to the education game. And, I mean, it sounds like you're a renaissance man. It sounds like you had a lot of things, going for you, man.
Yeah.
So
just
keep that in mind, marketing interns. Ooh. Like, that's very impressive. Shout out to your wife, I met her once.
Mm-hmm. Mary's
awesome.
A part of the band.
She is.
She's so a part of the team.
She has to be.
Uh-huh. And Lucy, our dog, too, is pretty much.
Yeah,
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
Yes.
All right, so Jake.
Yeah.
What's your story?
What's my story? So I am the drummer in the band, and I grew up in Metro Detroit. And I don't know, I'm kind of like slightly talking to the mic, but slightly talking to you.
Yeah,
guys.
Don't just talk to us.
I love it.
What do you got?
So I grew up in Metro Detroit.
Okay,
and
so you guys are sports fans, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was at Malice at the Palace.
Yo!
Yeah.
When Ron Artest fought those people.
Yeah. You were there?
I was
there.
Like, that was my reaction too.
I was like 10 years old. I was at a birthday party like with friends.
Hold
right?
on.
Yeah.
Stop
the interview, dude.
Tell us, we need the, are you, okay. Please, let's hear this.
Okay.
I was 10 years old. I wasn't super into sports, but the Pistons were was the one team I was always into. That was actually my first dream. I wanted to be a Detroit Pistons player. And I didn't know what action steps I was taking.
You're close.
I was super close. And so I loved going to the games, mostly because it was just something I did with my dad growing up. And so it was, I don't know, probably 10-year-old birthday. And we went.
This is your birthday?
This is my birthday. And so I invited all of my best friends, right? And so it's me and like all these other like 10-year-olds. I don't even know what grade I would have been in. And my dad. And we show up and we're like watching this game. And it's getting ugly. Like, you know, people are just starting to like not get along. And like the worst like crowd. Like people are booing. Like it's just like really getting nasty. And so my dad's like, yeah, I think we should take off. Like it's not going well. And so we start leaving, and then everything erupts at that point. That's when I think a beer got thrown from an audience member at one of the players.
Yeah, because Ron Artest was on the score, table.
Yeah, yeah.
He was laying down, and that's when some dude huffs the beer. I think it either hit him or got close.
Yes. He jumped onto the person who threw it and was punching him, right?
How close are you at this point?
So I'm like – so at that point, we actually did start to leave. So we were like – starting to leave, and then we saw like, okay, something is happening. So we popped back in, and we were like looking down from like an upper level. So we were just like looking in and like, what is even happening? And we were pretty short back then, so we didn't see like everything that was happening.
You're pretty short 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
So you're saying so your dad's also short?
No, my dad's he's like 6 foot.
Okay.
But
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, but like people are being punched and beer is everywhere. It was a dramatic, like traumatic experience as like someone who wanted to be a Pistons player.
That's so good.
Isn't that wild, dude?
That's wild.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty wild.
What was your gut reaction in that moment when you saw?
I felt dirty inside.
Just pull that sound clip out for me.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the whole
thing. No.
When you told me that, I had the same reaction of like, dude, tell me everything.
Cause yeah.
10 years old.
Yeah. And
the world's rocked. Like, this is actually happening in sports.
And I mean, I don't even think I realized what a big deal it actually was until later on when it like went down in history as a very big sports, you know, fight. So, anyways, that happened.
So you're Jake.
So I'm Jake.
The guitarist. Or the drums.
The drummer. Yep. So I started playing music. I was in fifth grade. I tell this story. I think I've told this story 3 times in the last 2 days, which is so funny. But it's kind of a fun way that I started playing music. I was sitting at the dinner table with my family. My dad had mentioned something about, back in high school when I played drums. And I had never heard him mention anything like that. And I was like, wait, what? You played drums growing up? And he's like, yeah, I still have the drum set in the basement. I'll pull it out after dinner. And he pulled it out and he set it up and like played a little bit and handed me the sticks. And I remember thinking, man, this is something that I really want to do. And I didn't even know why, but it just like, it pulled me. And I think it's because of how much music I already had listened to at that point. I just was drawn to it. I grew up playing music, you know, had a band in high school, you know, played on drumline in high school, did all that. And then, went to school downtown Minneapolis, studied music, you know, when I was at school, a small school called North Central. And, I had graduated and was playing music in the cities, and it was about, man, it was last July now, and I had met these guys briefly, and Lawrence asked me to meet up for coffee, and they were kind of in a time of transition and getting like really serious about this project, and they were like, we're really going for this thing, you know, we're in the process of finalizing the album, and we want you to be a part of it, we want you to jump in, and drop everything you're doing in your life and move to Hudson.
Quit your life. Yep.
Yeah, and essentially was what it was. It was actually really funny. There was a couple dynamics. When you met with me, you had 3 questions. You're like, first of all, at the time I was managing like a cover band that like does weddings. And he's like, first of all, I just want to pick your brain about like how to like play a wedding. We got asked to play a wedding. I'm like, oh yeah, sweet. He's like, second of all, if you want to play the wedding with us, we would love that. I'm like, oh sure, yeah, I think I'm in for that. He's like, third of all, if you want to just quit everything that you're doing and leave your life you've always known.
That's when I pulled the knife out.
Yeah.
What else?
And move in with us. You could do that. And, you know, at first it was like so...
Yeah, like, there's no way.
It was, in my mind I was like, there's no way. Like, I already was doing so many things in music and, like, had my community. I was living in Bloomington, Minnesota at the time. And
I literally took a couple days and just thought about it, you know, talked through it with some friends, and for some reason I knew it was right, and I don't even know why. I'd come to the studio and I heard some of the songs in process at that point, and I think that really shifted my perspective too, where I was like, okay, for some reason I'm drawn to this music and I can see the potential in it. And so I really did. It was actually like a week's time. I quit my life. I basically like moved from Bloomington over to Hudson. In with these guys.
It's crazy.
All my friends like were surprisingly like in support. And it wasn't like I was moving like, well, I was moving out of state technically, but just over the border. But but everyone was so supportive early on. And it was a big transition. So that was literally like last August. So we're just past kind of like the year and month or 2 month mark.
Yeah, sweet.
Of me being in this thing.
Wow.
So.
Right on. So you're technically the newbie.
Yeah, I would be considered the newbie of Yam House.
Gotcha. Right. He's what made us Yam House. Yeah. We weren't Yam House until Jim came in.
Right on. So, all right, Lawrence.
Oh, hold on. Should we call you Lars or should we call you Lawrence?
I'm glad you started there.
It's the age old question.
Yeah, you can do truly whatever you like.
Some people call him Larry.
Some people call me Larry. It's my grandpa's name. My grandpa goes by Larry, but he's originally Lawrence and I'm named after him.
Okay.
Fun fact, when I was a kid, I one time told people, I used to say to people when I was like 5 years old, my name is Larry, but people call me Lawrence. Because I was named after my grandpa and I knew that. And they call him Larry. And I'm like, okay, so that's a nickname then, Lawrence for Larry. Anyways.
That's awesome.
It's not a nickname.
No, and Lars was just because I think it's just like a really good friend of mine named Sam, just one day was like, I want to call you Lars. I shall call you Lars. And I was just like, okay, you're calling me Lars now. And it was this weird, like, oh, I'm sure this will be a phase. And it just took off like wildfire. It just like stuck. Because it's easier than Lawrence. It's easier to write, like, or like to give to a barista to say Lars is so much better than Lawrence. Because they're like, as soon as you say Lawrence, they're like, like writing out the name. Yeah. So that means kind of a longer name. But anyways, so Lars is just easier.
Lars is also just such a band name. Like,
yeah.
It is kind of a band name. Sure. It's actually, it simplifies it because now we all have four-letter names.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Right?
Wow.
Hey.
That's good for the business.
Great for business.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not in a business in terms of singing and writing songs. Sure.
You could be.
But you could pick up on that.
But yeah, I could definitely.
You can see that.
Dude, there's a super low entrance fee now to all that whole game. Yeah. You can get in now.
Let's talk offline about that. Yeah. Oh, but okay, let's start, man. Let's start with this, Lars. It sounds like you're the businessman. It sounds like you're the creator, the founder of this whole Yam House.
If you could only know how funny that question you just said to these guys sitting next to me. Yes, I am probably the founder, if you wanted to put it that way. I mean, I hope that as time progresses, we're all known as the founders and we all are known as the businessmen, because I've put a lot of effort and intentionality into trying to make it that this is truly a four-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like to Jake's point of like, he quit his life to do this. Like, he literally in a week was like, okay, we are officially doing this. Like, all of it, like, his whole life has turned upside down. So, yes, I did have that first sort of seed to say, I was like the crazy person. If this is a movement, I'm that first crazy person that's like dancing by themselves in the field. And then these guys are like the initial people to come over and go, okay, we can do this. And then we're hoping it'll become a movement. But yeah,
okay.
I was the crazy person that's kind of decided to jump, and then these are the people that are jumping with me.
Right on.
So yeah, that's true. Yes.
So then my next question would be, where did you get the inspiration to start Yam House? Like, where'd you get the name?
Sure.
And how did
that was a process with all of us, but I can elaborate on it. We actually originally called ourselves Afton, and we were told, we had this guy we were working with from New York who's a really like veteran, hardworking, true to the craft, like intense music industry vet. And he was like on our case from the onset that name wasn't going to work. And so he had us start a daily vlog and like all these things that he was like sort of grooming us to get more into like a marketing business mode. And then we literally spent that whole year knowing that our name would have to change, but we were working really hard on Afton, but knowing we're trying to find like a legally scotch-free name. And that was like the weirdest phase for sure of this whole thing, because like there was nothing being released or done. We were working so hard, and all of our families like, what is happening right now?
What was the time frame from Afton to Yam House?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It was blurry.
It's like maybe like April to August of 2017.
Oh my god, no idea.
I want to say this is
right before you joined board.
Yeah, so I technically was never part of Afton. Like when I jumped into it, we rebranded to Yam House.
Yes.
So September 23rd of last year was our official like Yam House. We announced it and went public and like created our social media accounts.
Yeah.
But so Afton was literally probably when did Jordan first approach you?
Man, it's again tough. That goes further back because there was a point where I was just working with this label who basically just consisted of this crazy guy enough to want to like work with me when I mean, all of us are nobodies, but like I was just like happened to be playing a gig at a band show in Hudson. This guy comes up to me after and he's like, "Hey man, I got a studio and like I want to give you my number." And I'm just like, raspy. "Okay, yeah, mom. Seriously, if you can meet," we still work with him. He's literally like our guy.
Jordan's
our bulldog. He's like he's our true business guy.
Yeah.
And he met me, and I remember just being like, "I mean, okay, like I don't know what this is gonna amount to. I don't even know if I'm gonna do it." I decided to finally be like, "All right, I'll come out to your studio and like get out your space." And it's just like, it's his basement of his beautiful home, and it's the whole basement's a studio, and it's just like the equipment is
insane,
top notch.
It's like a Nashville quality studio that happens to be in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Yeah, like he literally had people from like London that, if I could remember their names, and somebody listening to this that cares about these things, if they like, they would be like, "Wow, that's insane, that guy worked." He did like the acoustics in it. He like knew the Rolling Stones, that guy. Anyways, so this guy's like decked out, has this dream. He wants to start a record label. He wants to like, he has a dream to like get into music. And I'm like his first guinea pig, and I'm kind of like, "Man, this is crazy. Like, I don't know if this is going to work." And right away, we weren't really sure what was going to happen. And then like a few weeks went by. I remember I was with Seth in the car one night because, I mean, again, this is before like we even knew we wanted to for sure do this. I mean, we've been in bands together growing up, but we didn't really know if we were going to get serious about it. But this guy calls me and he's like, we had not talked for a while. And again, he's got that raspy mobster voice. And I pick up the phone. I'm with Seth. We're sitting in the car. We're at like a gas station, like in between. We had just been somewhere. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jordan's just right off the top. I pick up the phone. Hello. And he goes, "I got you a producer." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, this guy is just like hounding me down."
Me out.
Yeah. He's like literally like, he's like slowly like getting to the place. Again, make me an offer. I get confused. But then I didn't know who the producer was, but his name is Mark Heimerman, and he said to look him up, and I was like, okay, I looked him up, and he's got, like, Grammys. Like, the dude's won 2 Grammys. He's worked with some really big, like, late 90s acts, so he's definitely, like, been around. He's a veteran guy, but he moved up here from Nashville, like, 4 years ago. Anyways, so I meet him, and that goes really well. The first day we ever met, we actually wrote the song West Coast together, and a number of other tunes that made it on the record eventually. And he's sort of our, if we were the Beatles, he's like our George Martin, Mark Heimerman is. He's like our musical father and coach. And like everything we do kind of goes through him in a way, musically. Mm-hmm. Also, and he grooms us.
He's so good. He's really talented. Standard.
He's so intense.
We're just a bunch of punks who love playing music.
Yeah.
But like when we rehearse and he's in the room, like the standard gets brought
it's
to
like,
a level.
It's like, we're like nervous
yeah.
to rehearse. With Mark around.
Mm-hmm. Does he ever smile? It sounds like guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's got a heart of gold. Yeah. But when he works, he's like German. His last name's Heimerman, so he's like, he's very intense type A. Like, we're going to get this done. Like,
well, and he's just been in the industry for so long.
He's got a high standard.
Yeah, he has a very high standard. He sees what, like, A
and he's not afraid to share his opinion.
Yeah.
He's very matter of fact about it. And it's not in a negative way.
Yeah.
It's in actually a quite positive way. I mean, we've grown a lot because
it's refreshing too. I feel like a lot, and you guys know this too, like being in the Midwest, it feels like there can be a lot of like passive aggressive versus just like, tell me what you want to tell me. And so we'll finish a song and they'll say like, "Hey, that was bad work on that."
Yeah, that was not good.
But right away it's like, dude, and then it's like, "Oh no, this is actually like
the Midwesterner
super
in us is like, "Oh my gosh, this is weird." Like,
yeah.
And I think there's a lot of like compliance, or what is the word I'm looking for?
Complacency.
Complacency.
Appliances.
Compliances.
Yeah.
There's a lot of appliances.
Kitchen appliances specifically.
Yeah, I feel like in the Midwest there's more appliances than in other regions.
Shout out to
it's
appliances.
A real issue. It's a real issue.
Not a sponsor, but shout out to appliances.
Yeah. Just in general.
Anyways, Mark is like our loud, you can do better voice. And in encouraging ways, not in negative ways at all. I mean, again, we notice. I mean, if it wasn't for Mark, we would probably just be another basement indie band who is really happy and loves what we do. But it's not going to be a living, and we'd all be still working other jobs and stuff.
Yep.
But because of Mark's attitude and Jordan, the guy who runs that label, they've pushed it to be something where we actually live on it today.
Seriously.
We're full time with her being on our team and him being on our team.
That's Oprah and Patrick.
Oh, yes. Oprah and Patrick.
Oprah and Patrick. Yeah, shout out Oprah
and Patrick. Our manager and Oprah, who is like our marketing intern.
Yeah, she
manager.
She's our senior insert
executive. Senior executive.
We want one of those.
Yeah.
We're looking to get one of those.
Yes.
So Oprah, we're hiring.
Yeah.
But
if you know anyone.
Yeah. But let's unpack how Yam House fits into the music industry right now. To give our marketing interns a little background of like genre you guys hit, and then where you fit in, how would you frame it? Like, not like, I don't know how to phrase it.
Where are you trying to get at? Like, you're saying the kind of music they are?
So genre of music.
Okay.
And then
level. That was the one.
Level.
Levels. Like where you feel like you guys are at right now.
In the industry.
In the industry. Yes.
Yeah.
We're huge. Biggest band in the world.
Super, super exhausting.
No, I would say genre-wise, for a long time, I don't think we knew how to describe it. And I think that's okay to kind of let other people start kind of relating your music to like where it fits in the industry.
Yeah.
And honestly, the best term that I've heard described is like synth pop rock. Because that kind of captures like what we do. You know, we're influenced by so many different genres. Zach is a huge hip hop lover and rap lover. I think we all appreciate folk music a lot. We love country. That's probably actually, we do love Casey Musgraves. Do you know Casey Musgraves?
Yeah, I care about Casey Musgraves.
Dude, me too.
I care about her.
Dude, I love that. Shake my hand. Wow.
We do love Casey Musgraves.
The best man win.
But then we have tons of inspiration, you know, from Coldplay, from U2.
Yeah. Anybody who hears this and says they're not inspired by Coldplay, you're wrong. So,
what was the?
You can admit it or you can lie about it.
In the nominee, and like as we pulled up, they had like a little
this
signage
was good.
Up
this
front.
Was good. One of our first.
And
games.
It said like, "Come see Yam House tonight." And what was the genre?
Indie funk.
Was it indie funk?
Indie funk.
It was like indie funk music.
Indie
like,
funk.
What?
We'll take it.
To be honest, though, hear me out on this a little bit.
Yeah.
But like indie. The term indie is not a genre,
it's not
dude.
Real.
It's like a lame excuse for just kind of whatever.
Yeah. Because
you can listen to an indie song and you would like default to like almost EDM. And then then you go like indie rock and you're like, whoa.
Like, yeah, it's like, how did that word sneak in there? That's like being like.
It is interesting. Because technically we are an indie band because we're independent. Well, you know, we're technically with Hover. Mm-hmm. You know?
We're not with like a major...
Yeah, we're not with a major record
label. The other thing
too
is like, especially in this area, I think if like you go off, because like overall we'll be like, oh, we play pop music.
Yeah.
And I think that word is like so dirty in like this area.
Mm-hmm. It's
where,
frowned
like,
upon.
Yes. Like this is the scene up here is very indie, is very kind of like
American.
Underground. Yeah, so we'll be like, hey, we're a pop band, and a lot of people right away, regardless of hearing if they hear music or not, will roll their eyes and be like, mm-hmm.
another
pop band.
Yeah.
But it's like, we kind of got over that pretty quick. We're like, we play popular music. Like
all bets are off. Yeah. I feel like the phenomenon that was pop music came, conquered, and now it's just slowly like fading into whatever the new Wild West of music is going to be, which I saw some stuff in there that excited me. You guys had sent us some of your questions about.
Well, we had talked about that before, and one thing that was super nuts was this music culture now. Like, I listen to, I study a lot of music.
Cool. Yeah.
I've watched the Eagles documentary on Netflix
a
handful of times.
Nice.
And I love Nirvana. I love the grunge era. Grew up with a lot of music, put it that way. And, you know, back in the day, it was album sales. Drive your marketing towards album sales. Then use your concerts to promote your album sales. If you go platinum in album sales, boom, you're good. You're making money. Everyone's happy. Album sales have been totally shut down. It's Spotify, Apple Music, these monthly services. And now you're kind of in this situation that I've noticed and what you guys are kind of doing, which is... You gotta just be showman, and you gotta perform. And if you don't perform, you're losing.
Yeah.
So we're like, I would love for you guys to just expand on that.
We're a traveling clothing company,
and entertainment,
and that shows up to places and performs music.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never
Hold on. Say that again.
Let me see if I can.
There's a lot of truth.
Sneaking entertainment right before clothing.
Okay.
We're traveling.
Hey, let the man speak.
We're a traveling clothing company that entertains people at shows with music that we write.
Yes.
Because, like, we, yeah, the days are gone of...
It's actually our mission statement.
Make, unless you're Drake, you don't make money off your music.
Yeah.
So, like, you play shows and you sell merch. So, like, those are the ways that people make money. Like, the middle pack makes money these days because... Unless you're Drake, Drake's going to get a huge chunk from Spotify, but, like...
Yeah. And there are other methods of licensing that are, like, this is big... gray abyss area of like
who you know,
who you know, what you get placed.
Yeah.
It's like a very political arena that we are not in right now currently, but that is something that like I think artists do.
But that comes back to like when you were talking about falling forward, like things are changing so fast in the music industry and within the podcast industry and in whatever we're doing right now with social media and technology, that like if you wait for someone to tell you what to do, like you're gonna be behind already. So all you can do is just try and fail and go forward.
Yep.
So like that kind of came out of necessity for us, where it's like, oh, we're just waiting for the magic thing to come along, we'll sign a contract, and then we'll be big and famous. But it was like, no, we just have to try and fail and learn and then try again.
Yeah.
And that's the whole first thing we talked about is like how you need to go in the music industry right now, at least what we're seeing.
Mm. Yeah.
It's cool. That is the weirdest thing about where the music industry has shifted over the years. And we're still learning. You know, we are learning so much every day just by observing what's happening. And yeah, Zach, you said it. It's like, yeah, performances and merch are the two ways that you can make money and make a living in music. Selling your music isn't really a thing that we're trying to do as a band. You know, we kind of made that decision early on. We're not trying to make profit off our music. There's some that comes in and that's helpful, you know, and like Zach said too, like Drake or Taylor Swift or
Ed Sheeran,
you know, they're going to make money off of music. But in the grand scheme of things, like you said, it used to be the main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's shifted so much where the music that you put out is still your main product, but you're not trying to sell it. You're trying to give it away for free and have as many people hear about it as possible through streaming, through Spotify, through Apple Music.
Right.
But the real way that you survive as a business and as an artist is you sell your merch and you sell tickets.
And I think one thing, you know, having Andrew and I have seen you each once. I've seen you twice now. You guys blew me away, and we're going to see you a third time.
No way.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
This Saturday, shout out to Sarah Schuler. This event already happened, but she's throwing on this awesome event that's going to be awesome.
It was super fun.
Yes.
You guys crushed that event. Like, that was the best concert ever been to.
I love that.
Yeah, your guys' cover of the Macarena, like the things you guys are doing.
Trying to change the game. Musical
genius.
And what's funny is like I actually kind of want to expand on that a little bit, and it's being showman. I think Lawrence, you told me this, or Lars, you told me this one time of like you guys are practicing being showman and really trying to understand your audience, understand your crowd at that moment in time, but also studying it in the behind doors and understanding what people actually want to hear, what they like. And that's not what a lot of older bands have, where, you know, you guys are in this great era of having to be showman. So the successful people are showman, whereas the previous era was built off of, it's nostalgia at this point.
Yeah.
People go to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers because of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, or Lynyrd Skynyrd, or like, you know, the list goes on, right?
Billy Joel.
You guys have such an authentic advantage over them because you can put on a show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, tell us that again next time we're like tired and lazy in a new town. Man, do we really have to put a show on tonight? Like, I'm gonna remember this.
So I should talk about that a little bit though. Like, you guys put on so many shows. Like, that's exhausting.
Sure.
Like, what? Like, how do you guys do it?
I think what's tough is, and we actually had a moment pretty recently in Madison where, like, I think, man, I'm such a critic and not a fan of the whole like live authentic Instagram lifestyle like vibe out there of like people. It's almost this weird new bubble of non-authenticity, which is live authentic, and here's this picture of me in front of a giant beautiful Grand Canyon like vignette or something. I don't know, so I'm not trying to be that guy. That's my preface to what I'm about to say, but like it is really hard to not to be an entertainer and have a bad day, you know, to be like positive, like we just want to spread positivity. You are me, treat others, you know, higher than you would treat yourself, which is an exhausting challenge. It's impossible, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be reminded by all those things. But then come game time of the show, to just like smile and like jump around, like some days that can be really exhausting when you're like just not in the right headspace. So we haven't had anything crazy, but I think the closest thing of like having to kind of overcome some of those obstacles was we were in Madison and it was a new town and we spent the whole previous day in Madison like promoting the show. We were running around meeting new people, like just doing the guerrilla warfare game of like getting rejected, like handing out flyers, like just mobbing the streets, which I actually love. Like I love that challenge, but it's super like emotionally and just like personally exhausting to be out all day and then sleep and then get up and then do another show that night. And so there was, I mean, and we've had some history now where we've had some wins and some losses, you know, with certain opportunities or whatever. And not to go too long, but on stage, we just had this point where we talk. Typically I try to say something that's like, sort of just poignant to that night or that moment and why I'm excited about it. Or maybe I know, you know, a couple personal things about who's here and why I like that. And I've heard people critique that. Like, don't be grateful from the stage. Like, that's not that cool. Somebody said that to me once. And I was like, okay, like, screw you, first of all. Yeah. No, but it, like, so that is like a moment in time where we intentionally put time in for me to just kind of talk. And I do want to work on not rambling or just like being like, what is this guy even saying right now? But that night, for some reason, I just was like sort of bumming out. And we were all kind of in this weird like mindset. And I just like recognized it and was super honest about like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I haven't been like, I've been afraid to talk to you all night. I've been afraid to like reach out to you guys because for the first times we've actually received a little bit of like rejection from this booking agency. They are awesome people, but they mentioned like you talk too much on stage. They said that to our team. And that, like, for some reason, just, like, shook my confidence. Mm-hmm. But then I realized it was changing how I was. And it was bothering me. So then all of a sudden, I just, like, laid it out on stage. And was just like, guys, here's the situation. Like, here's what's happening in my head. Yeah. You guys all paid to give me a counseling session tonight. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Well, there's a thing. It was good. There's totally a thing of being transparent with your audience. Sure. That people totally vibe with.
Sure.
And they immediately start to relate with you. And then they can pick up who you truly are.
Yeah.
And when you're open like that, I totally feel it. And we recognized it when you were talking to us at the show over by the Cedar.
Sure. Yep.
It was awesome. You guys were wrapping up a long tour that you guys just had, and this was the final quote-unquote one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were just laying it out. And we were like, this is so cool. You guys are going all out for us, whether you were or not. It doesn't matter. It felt like you were.
That night felt good.
Yeah.
That was
And you guys were being transparent. And that's something that we try to consistently remember and try to be open with our audience in that way because people will connect.
Well, I saw that on your Instagram. You guys were talking about how you started with your shirts off in this podcast, and then you like were right back to where we started, and like that was cool. I was like reading some of your posts. Like, I see that in you guys are great for sure too. That's cool.
Hey, awesome. Also, we as a podcast would like to thank you as a band for giving us a shout out at the Cedar.
Absolutely.
You should have seen us.
We were little kids.
Let's detail this a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's hear this.
So at the concert, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, if I get any of this wrong, but it was like kind of younger people in the front.
Mm-hmm.
It was Andrew and I in the middle. And
like our age.
People
graduating college in their 20s, mid-30s.
Sure.
Mid
yep. Yeah.
And then older people are in
older
the
people in the back. Yeah.
Love that.
Joining.
Love
it. That. So
standard.
We were in this like really weird, you know, kind of rush up with the little kids and get crazy and then, you know, I could get pushed back and now you're in parents' lap.
That's good.
And when you guys gave us that shout out, dude, Andrew and I were just like beers up. Little girls, dude. It was hilarious. I don't know if anyone got it on film, but
I don't think so. Giselle was dying though. She was laughing at us because of how we reacted.
That's amazing.
So,
I love that.
That's
so
awesome.
Super cool. And I don't know if you remember, but when we came up for the pictures, I was so still just like on cloud nine.
Just bowing. I was like, you guys, thank you.
Like no one knows who the Back Pocket Podcast is in this audience probably right now. However, we know that's us.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. That's super cool.
That's what it's all about.
Mm.
And so one thing, I guess, brutally transitioning to one thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
The first time I met you guys, I actually introduced myself individually, I think, to every single one, starting with Seth, ending with probably Zach. But Lars and I were talking about how we hadn't talked about like bad boy culture and like clearly looking at the four of you like very much bad boys, you know.
Thanks for confirming that.
Yeah, no, very. It's confirmed here.
You're individually bad men.
Yes, we are bad boys.
Bad boys. But anyways,
you guys, I mean, there is this always like this era of teen angst. There's always going to be teenagers that are listening to music that are trying to get out like some sort of message or, you know, feelings. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think it's kind of in this really hard rap industry, like Travis Scott and Kid Cudi kind of. But, you know, those kind of artists are really capturing that teen angst. But I think, like, do you guys want to... Is this where you guys want to kind of capture? Do you want to capture that teen angst?
We're in the midst of trying to just determine that ourselves. I think we're making more music as we speak. We have a lot of songs. We have a studio, like that studio I was telling you about, at our disposal. And so we've worked really hard to keep the writing moving and continuing. And I think that's tough because sometimes you want to be transparent. You want to be honest that your life's not always just great. And love songs can only get you so far. Sometimes you have to talk about other things. But yeah, I'd say we're trying to figure that out right now. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I think part of the whole like committing to like a year of daily vlogging and going through that like crazy process of sacrificing all the time and energy of creating content and the music and, you know, looking around like the industry of who else is creating content and, you know, whose YouTube pages are getting blown up and, you know, what new artists are getting discovered and who are they, what are they about, what's their message and. It is a crazy time because everyone can create something and just put it out there, and there's so much. There is like the, you want to follow something and be something that you can't be on social media or on YouTube, or you want to listen to music that your parents wouldn't want you to. You know, like the natural like teenager.
It's tough for us because we're really pro mom and we love moms everywhere.
But it's, you see,
shout out to my mom
every day.
They are a sponsor. Moms.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not confuse that.
Which ties right into kitchen appliances, by the way.
Anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
There's a lot of garbage out there, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we want to be something that like creates, we want to be a group that is like collectively being like,
yeah,
all right, how do we like compete with that? Because there's entertainment value to that stuff that like, because we decided like, all right, we're not going to be like a certain way on front of the camera, you know, like, we lose out on some of the sexy marketing things that other people have at their fingertips.
Absolutely.
But there's something a little jacked up to me about like intentionally trying to position your art in a way that you would go, man, I hope a depressed teen really loves this. You know, like I hope that a depressed teen loves our music. I hope that everybody loves our music, but I don't want to ever start to like capitalize on the vulnerable or confused state somebody happens to be in, or like the painful state they happen to be in. Like, I'm not trying to, if something happens that resonates really well with teen angst, I would hope that it's an accident on our end. Like, I would hope that it's not like we went into the studio and we're like, man, this one goes out to all those really dark kids. You know, it's like, no, they're not dark kids. They're just kids. And like, I don't really know their life. You know, I know that there is a general consensus that when you're young, you're trying to figure yourself out, and that's exhausting. Middle school sucks. We can all agree forever. Like, I don't think that'll ever change.
Mm-hmm. But unless you're homeschooled.
Unless you're homeschooled, that's true. Go on, Seth.
Seth, it seems like you get something off your chest.
No, we can move on. Okay.
I think the biggest thing that we're trying to do is just write songs that are honest.
Yeah, honest.
Honest to where we're at. Honest to what we're trying to do. What we're figuring out. Yeah, if there's something that like emotionally is resonating with teenagers, then so be it. But I mean, that's what I love about Lawrence, actually, in the way he songwrites. He doesn't write a song that's not true to himself. You know, I've never heard him even write a lyric that was not like a real feeling that he was feeling or a real thing that he was thinking about. And I think that's kind of what we're all aiming towards, is like, how can we write songs that are real for us, that other people are going to resonate with? And that's actually something I heard, I can't remember what songwriter I was listening to on another podcast, talk about. It's like, I think some of the best songs out there are the songs that you're listening to, and they're not like introducing a new concept to you, but they're literally singing something that you're like, I've been there. I've felt that before, you know? And if you can do that, like write about something that resonates with people, I think that's what we're trying to do, but we're just figuring it out too. We don't know.
Because if it's real for you, it's real for somebody else too.
Yep.
Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Every time. You can take that to the bank. Like, I want to find something that resonates with somebody because it's real, and I could waste all my time trying to like manufacture that, or I could just like, here's what's real for me, and then find who my people are.
Yeah,
who are gonna find us and find our music and be into it.
And if you so happen to touch into teen angst and like something that may be in a negative connotation to start, I feel like the mantra that you guys started off this podcast with falling forward, there might be something like in the first 30 seconds or the first few lines that says like, okay, this is something that could resonate. But then you kick it into drive and it's like, this is how we responded and this is how we took it. Mm, sure. Look at us now.
Sure, sure.
Like, granted, you have those feelings. Everyone does. I'm going to be real with you right now.
Yeah.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
But then we took that and we embraced those feelings. And we weren't pushing them to the side like you could be and just get worse and fall into more of this hole. And then you take it to that next level.
Sure.
And like that's the people he's mentioned and Travis Scott, they're taking it and just digging the hole. Like just continuing
driving
to jump in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And bring everyone into that hole or make it as wide as we can.
Sure.
And never uplifting you. I don't know exactly if that's how he goes about, but that's how if you're at that concert, Travis Scott concert, it is just mayhem. Like no positive vibes. It's just utter mayhem.
I've never been. We should go. We actually, Zach and I want to go to Denzel Curry at First Ave. Like we're gonna go. If you guys want to come with us, you should totally go. Because I've like never been to, especially not currently, like a big hip hop artist. Like what that culture is. I know Denzel's super real, super honest, brutal, intense.
Yeah.
And
I fall
more
to that camp as far as like the music I listen to. Of like I want authenticity and realness. Like. More than I want anything else. So if like you're feeling like crap, like tell me, I want to hear that. And so like I hear that a lot in hip hop, which is why I like listening to hip hop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's positives in both sides.
It does need to come back though in rock and roll. Like hip hop has taken the throne, which is fine. Like I love that. How cool is that? You know, there's something that was originally brought forth by a people group that were completely suppressed in our country are now the kings of this industry. Like that's dope. And I was talking to, like, I get, like, somebody on Twitter was bashing us, like, end all boy bands, 2K18, like, was a tweet that somebody said to us. Which, like, first of all, let's unpack that. Like, okay, we're a boy band now. All right, we'll be a boy band. Like, I think the thing that's going to bring out the most teen angst vibes in me is just the whole annoying human tendency to want to label everything and have a box for it. Here's where it fits. I think that's the problem. I heard Giselle talk about that on your podcast a little bit, and I resonated with that. But I don't want to be mad about it. I want to embrace it. Like, sure, if you want to call me a boy band, if that fits better into your subconscious, like, if that makes you understand us better so you can, like, classify us psychologically for you, do it. Like, go ahead. If we're a hard rock band, if we're a synth pop band, if we're just a bunch of pretty boys, if we can't play, whatever it is, like, bring it on. But that's, I think, the thing that gets the closest to, like, teen angst for me. We have a song right now we're working on called How Do You Want It? And it's just, like, one big, like, our attempt at, like, okay, do you see how ridiculous this is? They're, like, I mean, if this is art, then don't tell me what to do. If it's art, don't tell me what to do. If it's business, let's talk. If it's, you know, how can we work better together? How can we communicate better? Then let's talk. And that's why, like, we all write a little bit. And, like, if you bring this song, like, that's your song. Like, let's figure it out. Like, if I was a producer, out there, like, you shouldn't try to make an artist who they are. You should develop the artist into being able to beautifully and craftily tell who they are. And don't change that, you know?
Mm-hmm. That really resonates with me. That I didn't really even think of that. Like, you guys are artists. Like, the term artists is that canvas is like, this is what you guys put out there.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to create whatever you want. I mean, granted, we quote unquote are entertainers and kind of have that same vibe, but it's not as creative maybe with that connotation of the word artist. Would you agree, Dak?
Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
You can look at these guys as entertainers too. You show up to their concert and they're flashing lights.
But could you consider us artists?
Yeah, because there's a format to our podcast. We have to produce content. We have to design t-shirts. Like,
and you
that,
steer it too.
And we steer everything. And that's when you get, like, Seth, you put it perfectly. Like, yeah, we're a band, but look at all the things that we also have to do to make money.
Yes.
We're forced right now to learn how to make money,
yes.
which is exactly, like, the base of entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Not only are you guys musicians, not only are you guys artists, but you're also entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And it's nuts to even think about that. And that's something that when Andrew and I started in our sunroom at our college house, there's no way in hell we thought that we were going to be artists and that this was going to be a production and something that we created.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you're making it your own. In a way, podcast too, it reminds me of like, it's almost like artistic journalism where it's like, you guys are journalists because really your job is to care a lot about other people's stories and then pull those out. But in that, in doing so, and with the way the world is today, everybody almost in a way has to be an artist because self-expression is at an all-time high because now you have your own platform at all times that you can brand and make it look how you want, and that's going to make somebody feel that a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, not even a thing before. Like, to even have your music recorded was, at one time, like, a huge deal. Like, you have recorded music, and now we literally, like, everybody has everything at their hands. like, it's literally up to you to go grab it. And so I would call you guys like artsy, artistic journalists in a way.
And nice. Conversationalists, because you guys create the platform to be able to share arts, you know, people to share. And so you're...
And that's why I wanted to meet with you guys. Like, I was telling these guys before, I was like, the reason, main reason I actually want to meet with you guys is because I actually feel like a kindred spirit there of like, we're both younger dudes. We're all younger dudes, just like kind of starting our careers, wanting to make a dent, wanting to go out and be kind of pioneers. And that's not easy. Like, pioneers got to stick together, even if they don't have the same like style or whatever. But like, not that we don't have the same style, but like, there's other artists who maybe like we don't have a similar style to, but like, we need to stick together because we're all going somewhere and we're taking the risk and being brave and like, we gotta work our tails off. And like, I love that kind of, that part of like Gary Vee stuff. Like, I love all that stuff because it's just true. And that's why he's resonated so big, is because he realized, okay, everybody can do it now. And so let's do it.
How about this too? And gone are the days of, you know, building this facade of who you act, who you are, or who you want to be, right?
Yeah.
You are who you are.
Yep.
Promote that, show that, be transparent.
Yep.
And that's going to resonate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you try and put on this facade, the internet's going to find a way to expose you.
Totally.
The internet and social media will always find a way to expose
you.
True. Put you in a box, do something to degrade you, and then at the end of the day, it's going to come full circle, and then you're going to realize, oh, I just faked my life for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Now I got to find myself.
Yep. Well, and that's why, as much as we take social media seriously, and we are, everything we put on social media, we can get behind and we're proud of. We're not like, oh man, that's not who we are. But like, I also have to remind myself, because I'm typically, so we all have different things we do. We meet every week and we all go through, like, as if we were a corporation, and we literally go through our projects and we're like, where are we at? And we help each other and we all have like lead things that we do. And one of the things I do a lot of and end up controlling a ton of, but we're working on actually changing that, because Oprah hopefully is going to help us a ton too. But social media is a big thing in what I do. And I'm realizing, like, if you take social media and the internet too seriously and you treat it as too real, it actually starts to get really exhausting. It's important to, like, daily reminder, like, okay, the internet's not real. It is real, but it's like, this is real too. You know, and in fact, it's more real. And the internet is just like a mirror of that, in a sense. And you can fake it down here and then put it there, but that won't last very long. There's a time limit on that. So, like, yeah, the internet and social media are not the, like, end game. They're just a vessel to get this out.
They're a platform of your product.
Yes.
And
you can't fake your product. You can, but it won't last very long.
It's almost like nicer than, like, I feel like I don't have to, because I know that if I faked who we were, that it would get, like, snuffed out. So then it's almost like less pressure on me. It's like, oh, we just get to be who we are, because then if that's really a good product, it will speak for itself. You don't have to, like, fake who we are.
You're a great product, Zach.
Dude, thank you so much.
Specifically,
also shout out Giselle, who just walked in the room.
Yeah, bring us all together.
Another guest we've had on, because Giselle is just spreading her arms and bringing us all together.
I love it.
She's mama bear.
But how cool is it that you guys get to create what Yam House is? Like, you, what people think about and what they connotate that name with, you guys get to create. That's one of the coolest things that we found through Back Pocket. Like, we get to say, when you hear the word Back Pocket and you're in the Twin Cities, we want you guys to think of us, and you want to think of that gratitude, humility, transparency.
Love that.
And it's just something that we got from Gary Vee, but we were trying to bring it on our own way. Trying to spin it in our own version.
It's
cool.
Super cool. And you guys get the same thing. That ball's in your platform.
It's a huge privilege.
What's funny is, like, you guys are like, yeah, we're a band, but we're also, like, trying to promote this message. And then sometimes when I'm really unpacking what we do, I'm like, man, long term, like, I kind of want to be like a band. Like, not that we
are,
but like, that's kind of how we have to operate nowadays. And like,
it's cool,
we're a unit. And but we're one thing that we talked about in one of our previous podcasts was, you know, a lot of podcasters, most podcasters, got big elsewhere and then came onto the podcast platform to tell their story and monetize and, you know, really promote something authentic. Whereas Andrew and I, we picked up podcasting and we were like, hey, let's start recording. We built our brand on podcasting. So when Andrew and I are out doing something else 10 years from now, it's going to be like, oh, those guys are big over here in like VR world or something.
Sure.
But they got big in podcasting.
Yeah. Sure.
It's funny. Cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing because, you guys got to think about that too. Like, Yam House is going to, something's going to be different in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for 10 years ago, we didn't have Venmo and all that crap, Snapchat.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
It is insane. It's crazy.
But, man, This has been great.
Let's transition.
Let's transition to
the back end of our show.
Cool.
And we start off with a game.
Game alert.
Game alert.
So,
I'm going to get competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No need
to get competitive, Zach. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just.
Jack is coming off for a set.
Yeah.
Here, we have a spark.
Oh, sick.
Yep.
Shirt's coming off the wires.
Are we recording this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
You want to get.
Like we pop it.
Yeah, I just think this would be. I think this would be good.
Slow.
This
in the
mic.
Oh,
that was very harsh.
Just audio equipment everywhere.
Some red things on that.
Good. I've never had a sparkling. Are these?
Hey, oh wait, is that part of the game? Okay, no, okay.
Oh,
it's very hot, but we survive.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about the hoodie.
Dude, for the listeners out there, Seth is wearing like
his velvet shirt.
A velvet shirt. It feels
only,
so
only you can see it and touch it.
It does feel very
But
harsh.
The inside's actually very harsh on my skin.
Seth's hair is actually velvet too. It's weird.
See, it's genetic. You should flip it inside out. Yeah. Put the velvet on the inside.
Ooh. Honestly, it's all about me.
Okay. I'm seeing a little bit of a trend. So I'm seeing Zach and Jake. A little bit of a similar haircut, you know, little five cut on the side with high and tight, looking good. And then we got
that's a half.
Might be a half.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Clean me up on the sides.
Yeah. Actually, last time I got my haircut,
I like that length on your face.
Yeah,
thank you.
So the last time I got my haircut, she switched my hair the other way.
Wow.
It used to flop this way, and now it flops the other way. Changed my life.
Yep.
Change the way I see the world.
Little things.
That's cool.
I've been thinking about that. I've been pushing this way the whole time. And
That
you can tell that this way is receded even more. So it's like, do I push it? Push
it. Wow. It actually messed with Zach's vision for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
he was
stumbling
around.
Yeah.
Your balance.
Really?
Wait, what's the pattern you're noticing? I want to hear your thought.
Yes.
Jake and Zach, very similar haircuts. Lars and Seth.
Dirtbag.
Dude, you guys are just looking wonky, bro. It's not.
Where we keep looking at each other like, are you going to quit? Am I going to quit?
Yeah,
like,
don't do it. Don't quit.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand.
Multiple people have told me, like, dude, you got to convince Lawrence to cut his hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, he's his own person.
Do you guys understand? Do you guys understand how, think about how crazy this is. So I just kind of unpacked this by listening to The Fighter and the Kid. Shout out to The Fighter and the Kid.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, but
people, influencers of us.
Unbelievably great people. You know, you might think they're an MMA show, but they're not. They're just a couple guys having a good time. But anyways, Theo Von's on it, the Rat King. And he grew his hair out just because he didn't care. And now it's like a brand of his.
Cool.
Like, people will send him videos of other bad haircuts that look like him and then ask him if that's him. So he's got
he
the most gender neutral haircut of all time.
I love it.
And it's unbelievable, but it's a brand, is my point.
Sure.
Like, you guys, that's a brand. Seth, your hair and how greasy it might look or not.
Yeah. Theoretically, it might be greasy. That's like the most polite.
That was so polite.
Seth, your hair is so greasy. Let's just be clear.
No, I
love it.
But like, you're like, if anybody tried to brush your hair, like, all bets are off. It's not happening.
Yeah, they're going to break their comb.
But like, you need to promote that. You need to promote your unbrushable hair and then like, the grease that, you know, Seth's putting out here. Think about how, like, that's content. That's actual content that people are like, dude, I have greasy hair.
I should give
like, my name's Gary Grease. I got greasy hair.
Gary Grease.
I like that, yeah.
Actually, we did a vlog. We were, like, planning some photo shoots, like, a year ago. Lawrence has great hair. Like, Lawrence has curly.
Wow, thanks for that information.
Lawrence has great hair. And he goes to Nashville and completely shaves his head.
Yeah, it's like my Britney ear. I had a Britney ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
buzzes her.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
We had to postpone the photo shoot.
Yeah, we had
for like
a
couple
people
months.
Were angry, like within
our
team.
Yeah.
Zach was angry for sure.
I was sure.
Pissed,
yeah.
Like
great hair.
Very angry.
Yeah.
You don't have the luxury of just getting a haircut if you're in a band.
Oh, wow.
I thought telling other people, Jake, today, honestly.
Every time you walk out, you're gonna tell me.
I snuck off and got a haircut.
Didn't
really tell anyone.
It wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, it's
because we were.
Yeah,
they're pretty upset. I told Zach, but whatever.
The whole like, it looks good. That was all of a sudden. I'm actually.
I like leaving it. I think there's a magic in leaving it and then watching the world change around you as you grow your hair out, which includes people going, your hair looks ridiculous. And you just go, the fact that I didn't do anything to my scalp and that literally turned into a world where now you are saying your hair looks crazy. Like, that's power to me. That's cool.
That's crazy and tough.
Yeah, we're talking about it. You know, I love it. Anyway,
it's content, dude.
It's content, dude.
Like, you guys could have a weekly hair vlog where you talk about your hair problems.
I'm putting zero predictions on this, but, like, I really am going to grow up for a while. I don't know what it's going to look like. But there are some days I literally think about, like, what would it look like? And again, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. But what would it look like? Imagine if I had hair just, like, super long. That's when it just gets, like, weird.
Did you touch your knees?
Yeah, I touched my knees.
You just touched your knees. Down to here. Your hair is super long.
Down to here. Down to your knees, dude. That's like wizard.
All right, let's move on.
So our game.
Game alert.
Our game.
Game.
Let's do it.
So we have created a look-alike. This is a game of look-alikes. So we are going to go down the line and give you... If you agree, I think you will agree on all fronts. But
Not only do I agree, but I probably already know mine just because of my life. Okay. What's happened this far.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'm excited.
All right.
Let's start with life. Let's go with Zach first. Zach, I believe you look like Johnny Bananas. Are you familiar with the challenge?
I have no idea.
All right, so this one hit for sure because Giselle's over here laughing super quiet.
So
you're like a less muscular version and less like drama-ridden Johnny Bananas.
Okay.
So he's made his name on MTV The Challenge. It's a 33-season show. The fact that you haven't heard it is...
Wow. Maybe I've heard of The Challenge. Maybe I just don't know Johnny Bananas.
He's the face of The Challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So you are Johnny Bananas. It's a good thing.
Cool.
You've won 6 challenges.
6.
And you've made a lot of money just being on TV.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now. Yeah,
okay, so we'll come back to you and get your reaction.
Sure.
And that's when we'll smoothly transition to you, Seth. So, Seth, you are a poor man's Jon Snow.
Oh.
Is that from Hunger Games?
No, it's Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
He goes, no, yeah.
He's got that white spiky hair that, like,
no.
The eyebrows that are, like, gelled up.
Dude. What are you talking about?
Do you want to be Jon Snow?
Dude, Jon Snow has like long, like hair like you. He's like a bad at like.
He's a good looking dude. Take that and spread.
Zach, that's a great.
It's like
Kit Harington, if you want to look. That's his actor's name. Yep. So
I've read the books.
I need someone now to look that up for Seth.
Yeah.
I have no.
Okay.
No. Someone will figure it out. Right. We got a lot of bodies. We're doing a podcast, Andrew.
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, so now Jake,
we
struggle with this.
Yeah, we had to really dive deep. And we think you look like Matthew Dellavedova.
Ooh.
I don't know who
Deli.
That is.
You know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah, he plays for the Bucks.
You're the point guard for the Bucks.
I'm in.
It's my dream.
You played in the finals, and you won a finals.
Yeah.
With LeBron.
With LeBron.
The Pistons, almost.
Yeah.
Just like, your inner basketball career has been fulfilled.
he's drama, though. That guy, he stirs it up.
Really.
He's gritty. He's very gritty.
Very gritty.
And, all right. Okay, so now you look that up.
Johnny, what is it?
No, you're
Matthew Dellavedova. He's an Australian basketball.
Greg Carey.
So we have two for you, Lars.
Wow.
Yes.
Come on.
Declan, would you like to start?
Yeah, let's unpack this.
I hope you were right.
This is my favorite one, I think, but you're a little less Jewish version of Little Dicky.
I don't know who it is.
You don't know who Lil Dicky is?
Well, I mean, like, I'm trying to think.
You're the less Jewish version of Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky was the one, he's a white rapper, he was in those Trojan ads.
Is it? Oh, sure.
Okay, he did that song, dude.
You're a little less, Jewish version of Lil Dicky.
I don't have the facial hair, though, I can't bring it. So therefore, a little less Jewish, because they do the beards.
Exactly.
Okay. The other one is, can you help me pronounce it? It's Marziano Fellini.
Fellini. He's the midfielder. Center midfielder for Manchester United.
Plays on Belgium.
What's his
name? He's a Belgium team.
How do you type
this? I have it written on my phone right there. It's...
Okay,
I don't...
Okay, Johnny Bananas is pretty good, so let's go back.
Zach,
do you think you look like Johnny Bananas?
I can see that.
Oh, whoa!
Oh!
Johnny!
Is there anything on his body?
No, it says Notorious over his dingle.
Yo, he's also got a lot of tattoos.
He's a reality star.
Zach,
I got one.
You have a tattoo.
Yeah, one
that's
right
you?
Here.
That's me at a yellow show.
Dude, thanks.
This is me at a show.
Yep.
Yeah, it's you.
You guys are honing in on the hair.
Yes.
And you're nailing it.
This is like a preface with your hair.
I love
that. Holding a banana.
So that is you.
Okay, it's real. His ass
looks
not bananas.
His ass looks similar.
Is that him?
I gotta get better. I think the facial hair is
lacking. Very well trimmed.
Yeah.
Okay, so Seth.
This is who I thought you were saying.
Okay.
Yo, that's not Jon Snow.
That would be Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay. And that's Hunger Games.
He searched Snow Hunger Games.
Snow guy. No. I did look up the actual guy, Jon Snow.
So good.
And he's, I'm going to tell you, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Sweet.
His hair is a little bit curly. I have super straight hair.
So wait, let's go back to Zach real quick. Grade us on a 1 to 10. Where do you think our accuracy lies?
Yeah, I think like a 8.5.
8.5, sweet. Nice. I appreciate that.
I'm nervous about his. Is he a douche?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm bummed out about that.
That's cool though.
We don't know. Like,
no, that's not cool. Oh yeah, it's
kind of cool, cool to be cool at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm being an ass, but I don't think. No.
So quick shout out to douche.
Sure.
Douches are like. I don't know how to unpack that because. Because they're good and bad, you know? They provide a service, but they're also
not. It's like they're the kind of people that create problems and then solve the problems that they created.
And then I think it's a total douche move.
And you create an entire reality show from it and then run it for 33 seasons and it gets sponsored by Under Armour.
Very smart.
He got it.
He's got it going on financially.
So shout out Johnny Bananas. So did you end up finding Jon Snow?
I did, yeah. He looks sad often.
I mean, he's a sad.
Is he a sad guy?
He's frowning in all the pictures.
But I like the fact that he wears like really big furry things around his shoulders.
Seth has done that.
It goes hand in hand with the shirt you're wearing. It's got fur to it.
Yeah, it's true. It's just the baby fur.
I still have not seen anything but a frown.
No, it looks good. I'm gonna say it's a solid. Because of the hair, his hair's got a nice curl to it. I'm gonna say it's a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
But the facial hair is on point. And I probably don't smile that much. So yeah. Maybe like I got
Seth's
that.
That's a sad man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, that's a bummer.
For sure. He's a
guy. So how about this though? If someone were to talk about you, like Seth, guitarist, Yam House, and they said the first thing they said out of their mouth was, "Oh, he looks kind of sad." Like, how would you feel about that?
I wouldn't be happy about that.
You'd be sad. That'd make you sad, which would be a selfish.
Because you said that about Jon Snow.
It's true now. So. You look sad. Well, you're right.
No, I feel like I have gotten a lot of comments that I don't like. I'm not super expressive. Like, I'm very just like middle of the road. Like, all right, do my job. Don't mess with me.
Hey, you express through shredding the guitar.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy.
I'm always smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gotten comments.
That's true.
Don't see me smile.
In fact, the other day we were in St. Cloud last night and we were playing on their TV show and we're like in this quiet room, we're playing. It's like this very like stiff studio environment. So it's not like lively rock and roll where you have to kind of like get into it on your own a little bit.
You really gotta love
and him. I look over to them at one point, he's got the most intense
joyous.
It was either like the best friend of my life running to me in a field or like an evil witch brewing
It was like potion.
it was like so aggressive and it almost like threw me off the side. I was like, okay, sure, I need to go back to the mic, like that's scary.
Well, give us a rating. How do you think we did with Kid Harington?
7.5.
We feel good about that. We shot a music video where we dressed up in 70s gear.
Yeah, Seth's got a mustache.
And he got this a lot. The guy from This Is Us.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the hair is spot on there.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
So I know him more from Rocky.
Greasy hair can make it.
Oh, sure.
Rocky, the last one before Creed, he was Rocky's son.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And you know that famous thing where he's like, you gotta keep coming, you get the punches coming, keep going up. He's the one he's talented to.
Love it.
I can't remember his name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
You're a ball full of knowledge, man.
Yeah.
All right, Jake.
You know a lot. That's cool. Matthew Dellavedova. Correct. That's his name, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's a picture that I found.
Yep.
Dude, I want to know that guy. He looks very kind.
Yeah,
you got the sweet, sweet part.
Yes, mm-hmm. He does look very kind. He's smiling in a lot of photos, even this one.
He's Australian, I think.
Is he?
And he's the grittiest basketball player.
We've seen a little Australian.
Close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see some similarities. The thing that throws me off is he's blonde hair, blue eyes.
Sure. Ooh. Jake, be honest right now. Like, this is an honest, safe place.
Yeah, you can give us a real rating.
I'll give you a real rating. I think...
Jake, it's okay if you say something that's not always positive.
I know, you put Jake in the best spot.
Yeah. Jake is the most positive.
Yeah. We like
this
critical really feedback.
I love this.
Speak your mind.
I love this. I will give you... I'll give you a 3.
Whoa!
Oh, Jake!
It's a little harsh,
three.
Guys.
Not even like a 3-2.
I was
3-3
off the podcast. That was too mean.
That's the meanest thing Jake's ever done in his entire life.
I am so shocked.
And the reason
we
could
say anything, we'd get a 10 from you.
What's that?
I thought we could say anything and we'd get a 10.
Yeah, I know. That's it. You guys are really pushing your boundaries. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, I think this is my reasoning. First of all, blonde hair, blue eyes. He's smiling. That's what accounts for the three.
Yep.
But he looks pretty sporty.
He has a mouth, so three.
I do see a nose, and yeah, he looks pretty sporty, and I'm probably the least sporty out of this group.
We did our research, and we knew that as a 10-year-old, you really wanted to be a professional basketball player. So we reached in our back pocket, and we pulled out Matthew Dellavedova.
I like this. This is you guys dug deep. You guys did
deep into the back pocket right now.
He's also a point guard. Which, man, I would probably be a forward.
Jake's a point.
You'd be a forward.
I'd probably be a forward in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You get tossed around. But you're a forward in intramural basketball because you're the gritty guy who gets the rebounds, that boxes the dudes out that no one else wants to do. Which, again,
that's him.
Is Matthew Dellavedova. Yeah.
So we went off more of a personality and the grit that he has that relates with you.
Yeah. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? All right, we're going to have to take a break. I have to watch a sports recap of Matthew Dellavedova right now. Okay, well, I'll have to do some research.
We're making you feel way worse than you should.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. This is what we're doing as podcasters.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to let you know.
It's now good, though. Lars.
Yeah, Lars, let's get this
you
going.
I'm going to give you guys
combined total.
Combined total. I'm going to go back to the other guy. What's his name? Maranio. Yeah, Fellini.
Do you want to hear the one that Lawrence hears all the time?
Yes.
Lawrence gets told weekly that he looks like Gabe from
I'm going to unveil
this. Giselle said that.
The first thing I was going to give you was that I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
This guy was the closer one. I'll give this guy...
The Manchester United guy.
I'll give this guy a... 5.
That's great.
Okay, so the
I'll give him a 5.
Fellaini.
Facial hair.
Fellaini. I mean.
The hair is almost equal to yours.
The hair is almost equal. There was one point where I literally thought, is that literally me at a Game House concert? I thought at one point.
Well, see, that's the other thing is Andrew's only known you as a Yam House.
That literally looks like a recent photo that was taken of me.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it does.
For sure. So that's I'll give you that one.
Okay.
5.5 strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other one I can't even remember.
Little Dicky.
Little Dicky.
A less Jewish.
I'm gonna go down that one more like a 4, 3.5.
Yeah, that was a reach.
I want to see this dude.
He has that song. He's talking about aliens.
Yes.
Yeah. But I thank you because now I want to look up. I don't know anything about Little Dicky, and now I'm gonna get into him. So thank you. Please and I will. End the Gabe thing is unbelievable. You guys have to see this.
No, yeah, you look like Gabe, but you're not Gabe anymore.
No, but also the best thing too is that.
All right, I'll receive Marion for me.
Marion, sure. But here's the thing, You used to be Gabe because you had short hair and you have the face, man. Like, you are Gabe as the face.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want another one that Lawrence is talking?
Yeah. What?
People all the time say it.
Logan Paul.
Dude, you look like Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Which is actually
the best. I lose my mind every time it happens. I think it's so funny.
Please like and subscribe. Okay.
All right, well, that was our game.
I appreciate you separating my identity from Gabe because that was an exhausting life.
Yeah.
And I received this new identity.
Fellini.
We're going to have one for you guys. We're going to brainstorm and we're going to do it for you.
You do have a Jason Mraz.
Yeah, I was
Jason Mraz.
But you don't have Jason Mraz facial vibes going on.
Oh, he doesn't.
But if you put your face, like what you got on that hat, it could be
Jason Mraz. Or combine Jason Mraz.
Yes. I like that in the moment.
Collaboratively.
I think that's really got to be our sales pitch as a podcast. So we're a podcast where he has this Jason Mraz hat on, and I look like Jason Mraz. So together,
we make.
The back pocket is Jason Mraz.
You should change your name. You're Jason, you're Mraz.
Let's hear it.
Jason Mraz.
What do you got? A little song? It's a little Jason Mraz for you. Yeah.
I like that. Great. Okay, so trapping the puck and finishing... As we always do, we have two final questions.
One, they're both collectively.
Yes.
Yeah,
really. So the last one is, do you guys have any questions for us?
Where do you want to be in 10 years and why?
Yeah, I got some too. That was a
good one. Okay, well, Zach, we'll get to your question. We have to answer Lars' question.
That was a good first, one person answer your
question. Yeah. Okay. 10 years. All right, so this is goes back kind of the Grant Cardone 10X thing. Where do you want to be in 10 years type thing?
Oh, sure.
And that's where I really unpacked it. So, oh, man, this is tough for me because I'm just in such a wild spot. But I want to be kind of at the face of podcasting. Like, I want to have a prominent podcast people know us about. But I also want to have other things that, kind of when I went back to, these guys made it big in podcasting. I want to be in something else where they know me. Doing something else, but know me originally as the Knucklehead Podcast.
A diverse portfolio.
Correct.
You want to have.
What were some of those things that you feel like you could tap into?
Next things I could tap into, I want to get into comedy. I want to start doing stand-up.
You dirty dog. Mm.
Dude. I feel that vibe.
I was waiting for him to say that.
That's cool.
Once you say it out loud, you can't take it back.
Yeah. Well, I was an engineer, and I still want to have a part of that in my life. Mm. And I don't think I could, I don't have the capacity right now to start an engineering company, because then that would mean I can't do the podcast, you know?
Sure.
So I want to be back into like renewable energy or something around the next thing coming up, which is like the growth of solar panels, wind, all that crap. So I want to be in that area, and I want to have my structure, my brand, and everything that the podcast has done incorporated into all of it.
Dude, that's so cool. Hmm. I think our generation is afraid to like really make big claims of like, I want to be at the face of podcasting. Like, I don't hear a lot of people like say that. Yeah. Just like speaking it out. Like, we said the same thing for a band. Like, we want to be
biggest band
in the world. Yeah. And like, we would say that to people, and they kind of, that's kind of, but like, dude, I love that. I'm super on board.
We also want to be the face of podcasting.
Yeah.
So
we got a competition going on.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There's can't be a monopoly.
May the best
No, we can't be.
Yeah, I love it.
I want to be
you guys shared it. I love it.
Not the face of podcasting, but a face in podcasting.
Sure.
Because it's so wide.
But Andrew, we were talking about Fighter and the Kid.
Yeah.
The Brandon dude, he does stand-up. He's like starting a coffee company. He does the podcast. Like, he's got his hand in so many
spots.
That's cool. It's so cool.
Yeah. You have to do
UFC
that now.
He was a UFC fighter. Yeah. I think he played football college.
Yeah, he's an NFL player. He's
a big says a UFC fighter.
Anyways, Andrew, what do you got for us? 10 years.
I was going to bounce it.
Oh, you want to bounce. Question. Okay. Next question.
What you got? I felt some energy from this side of the
room. Oh, a question for you guys.
Yes.
Shoot, what was I going to ask? I had a really good one.
Seth, I felt some energy from
you. Do you guys share a room together?
We do not.
Oh, yeah, I got it. You guys went to St. Thomas.
Yes.
You guys started at St. Thomas. Like, you guys were like a freshman at St. Thomas.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What hall did you live in?
Ireland.
I was Brady.
I was in Brady too. Brady what?
Brady 129.
Okay. I was in Brady 6. Something. Mm.
Okay.
I was up top.
So we had some nicer rooms up there.
Yeah, we had the nice stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a bidet?
We actually have a bidet on every toilet in our room.
No. No way.
Yeah.
You're lying.
You guys need to come over.
No.
I was just saying, check this out.
Dude.
We actually don't have toilet paper. We just have.
Shut up. Just straight up.
You don't?
Yeah. Shut up. That's just waste. That's how about renewable energy? It's a waste.
I don't get why everyone doesn't use
it. Dude, we need to get a bidet tomorrow.
Yeah. So how much do they cost? I'm curious.
They came with the house. Yeah.
Are they heated?
No way. I'm going to look at the bidet right now.
Yeah, they're heated.
They have some extreme power.
Wow.
Every single person that walks into our house, we show them every room. When we get to the bathroom, our bathroom, because we feel most obligated to do it in our bathroom. We show them the bathroom, and hey, we have a bidet. Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
And without them even answering, we immediately turn it on, and it just hits the window. It just hits the window. We're like, yep, that's the bidet. Turn around, walk out, and just look at their reaction.
Oh,
That's
so cool.
I did some math, and Charmin Soth right now is running for 16 rolls, $12. Two of those a month. When you're looking at a house with five dudes taking a lot of poops, that's $32. Wow. We, as a house, are saving $32 a month by using only bidets. I just want to shout out bidets.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I want to say
wow, I'm really going to butter it up. That's amazing.
I don't get worked up about much, but when we start talking about bidets, I'm like passionate about it.
Dude,
I want a bidet.
I'm with you. I'm not as passionate as... So Zach will actually... Do you feel compelled to share this?
Okay, so if you don't have a bidet, you can use those like moist, flushable towelettes.
Let's not use the word moist, but
moist thing. But it's kind of like a manual bidet, kind of.
Well,
it's like a manual bidet. That would be like
you're talking about going down
to the ground with a ladle of water.
I've used a manual bidet in India. That's my only experience, and it was an awful experience.
Oh no!
Because I was in India, and there was literally a hose. And I was like...
It was hands-on bidet.
Yo, we played at a
and
house.
And so I've been afraid. I've been like, no way, I'm not going to do that.
When we were in India together, did I have to wet my hands?
It was my first time.
Okay, anyway.
Hopefully it was.
Trap the puck.
Trap it in.
No, we used the bidet at a house in...
Titterberg, the same place we got in our beef with Hippocampus.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy had worked at Kohler. He was like instrumental in like designing the bidet. So like, you could play music. Can you play music? It like lit up. It had like little things. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. It's a new market, I think. I mean, it's not a new market. That's
going to be the face.
But
dude, I want to do the face.
I mean, think about like proving can be like an experience now. Like it can be like a
it can
very,
be content.
It can be content. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's as old as time. If you don't laugh at poop and fart, there's something going wrong.
No, exactly.
The fact that I said fart, like singular fart.
One fart. Everyone knows the rules.
One fart.
This conversation diverged.
Here we go.
Hey. So great questions so far. Do you have any others?
Yeah. Are you guys Vikings fans?
No, Broncos and Steelers.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's so from you're a little bit fragile right now.
I'm in a shitstorm.
Yeah.
I got a question. If you could have one person or group of people on this podcast in the next year,
that's good.
It's a great group.
Yeah, who would you like to have?
Okay.
Like, who would be like, man, if we do this in a year,
it's guaranteed to happen.
We're freaking doing it.
Yeah. First one for me would be Les Miles.
Ooh,
I want to talk. I want to talk to Les Miles. He doesn't coach anymore.
He's an analyst.
He, I don't know what he does. Dr. Pepper commercials. That's what I know. What Les does right now. But
interesting.
He's I want to tap into the Mad Hatter. If anyone doesn't know, he's the old LSU football coach. Was just a nut.
Isn't it like a scandal?
No, he didn't have a scandal.
Okay, good.
Anyway, who do you want to get on, Andrew?
I want to get Joe Rogan on our show. He's the epitome of why I got started into this.
Mm-hmm.
His intellectual curiosity is through the roof, and I feel like he's really funny.
I would also say, off of Joe Rogan, pardon my take, I would love to sit down with Big Cat and PFT and unpack their whole story of starting their podcast.
Sure.
Because it's, I mean, we really followed it, so we know it, but like,
Big
it really.
Cat's a Wisconsin guy, right?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Any other questions?
Let's track the puck on that.
Yeah.
And then one final question.
One final question.
We'll go down the line.
Yeah.
What did you learn today from the time that you woke up to when we're having this conversation right now?
What the heck?
We'll start with you, Lars.
Yeah, I like
whoa.
That.
Whoa. Okay. I was thinking about how today, can it be learning things about yourself?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I kind of knew this before, but today it really like feel like it took another level of awareness in my own life. I can drink a lot of fluid.
Mm.
Like, no problem.
Yeah, you're down like to
I,
a tea, two waters,
and
a sparkling water.
And it is because I did think of it because I looked at this.
Mm.
But more so, it was just like, I was drinking because I'm getting kind of, like, throaty right now, sick weirdness going on. And I literally, like, I can snap my finger and pound, like, three big glasses of water back to back to back. Has anybody seen me do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
it's, like,
kitchen,
insane.
Yeah,
like, I'm just to the point now where I, like, have, like, and before it was just like second nature. I didn't even think about it. And now I'm like, man, like that's a cool thing about myself that I learned today. Very narcissistic. Like I'm proud of myself. I think I'm awesome.
That's cool.
So
no,
sweet.
That's awesome. Like you literally drank a gallon of water over this hour and a half.
I know.
We've had a
and I do have to pee. And I peed before we came out.
Very
so.
Smart.
Yep.
Okay. That's actually, it's funny you asked because I think I was processing something that I was thinking about in the car ride over here. And you guys asking me actually made me like realize I came to a conclusion. Just kind of sweet. So we had a couple meetings today starting this morning and then I had another one this afternoon and I think I just had this thought. I was like, I think so much of our time every day is just not spent the way we want it to, the way we want to spend it because we don't schedule it the way that we want to schedule it. And I just had this thought. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. Like there's a lot of action steps specifically related to like Yam House stuff that I've been wanting to take for weeks. And it's amazing that it doesn't happen until you actually make time for it. And I was like, whoa, it was simple, but it at the same time like stuck out
profound.
To me. Yeah, it was profound. Where I'm just like, oh, wow, the things that I want to get done
schedule
can actually happen if you create margin or actually like write it down. It's not going to get done even if you put it on a list sometimes because so much of your time is occupied throughout the day. But if you actually want to see action steps get taken on a vision for something you want to see happen, like actually schedule the time. To do it as well. It was just interesting.
Phenomenal.
Simple, but whatever.
I love that, dude.
All in a day's work for you.
Yeah. Moving right to left.
John
Snow, what do you got for us?
There was a good day, actually. We've been working on, it's just a very, very micro example of something that I think I've learned to appreciate more today than I have in the past, is I do a lot of the booking of the band, and so I'm always like cold calling, getting rejected constantly, like reaching out to people.
And getting accepted.
I'm getting accepted sometimes.
Sometimes
I'm not sure what the ratio is, but it's not great.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
Not a passing
count. Game. Hey, count your nose and then use it as an example.
Mm.
Use it as leverage to what you're doing.
Mm. But I was talking to, there's a brewery in Madison called Capital Brewery, and we're trying to find some place to go, like, between Columbus and here to work some tour out. Regardless, Cindy at Capital Brewery was, like, super into Yam House. And, like, the music, like, the actual music itself was, like, super exciting to her, to where it didn't matter. Like, it was the easiest gig I've ever booked, because it was, like, there's pure interest and pure, like, enjoyment.
Pure Michigan.
Like, something that, that was just, like, real. And, like, it didn't, like, work. It was, like, oh, like, we share this common thing that, like, draws us to this thing together. And, like, I don't know, like, detail. I have no idea how it's going to go. Like, it could be a complete nightmare for gig. But, like, the fact that there was a conversation that was, like, we're moving forward together because of our shared interest, as opposed to, like, my interest and your, like, just letting us do this thing. Or, like, just, like, at the cost of you. And that was, like, man, I want to work more like that. To where we're working with people and we're building teams that there's shared interest to what's getting accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that, like, people are stoked to be a part of that kind of stuff.
Think about this. Andrew and I caught on this, like, a week ago. And you're literally saying the same thing. And it's, so when you want to get something from someone, you have to provide them with unique opportunity. You have to provide them with value, but you also have to sell yourself and have them believe in you first.
Yep.
Like, say, okay, like an example would be investors. You want money from this person, but you also, like, you don't want to just go to them and ask them for money. You want them to believe in you first, and then the money will come.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to them with advice. Show them that you're a personal person. Show them all these different things. Show them the intangibles, and then they'll see what they're investing in. They don't. They probably have a general idea of what you stand for and what you guys want to do. Yeah, they're a band. Yeah, they're a podcast. They're doing this. Surface level looks really cool. But do I believe in Seth? Do I believe in the back pocket? Do I believe in these people? Mm-hmm. That's what really matters. So sell yourself first, and then you'll book everything, man.
Dude,
everything. Without fail.
Yeah, so sell yourself right now.
That's serious. Yeah.
Wow. What do you got, Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to dumb it down a little bit.
Please.
Right on.
Finally. I hurt my neck last week, and so I've been putting Icy Hot on my neck, and I got some on my fingers today, and then touched my tongue.
Oh.
Yeah, so
don't do
I learned
that.
Today
you
that
lesson.
Don't
do that.
Don't put Icy Hot in your mouth.
What was the cure?
No,
there is no cure.
What did it feel like?
Time heals all.
Well, and it was also, so it was a roll-on thing, and it had lidocaine in it, which is like, it like numbs your nerves. It wasn't very much, or else it would have like really freaked out my
mouth. That's why you need it. I was like, can't.
But yeah, I was editing the vlog today, actually, and all of a sudden I was like, something tastes like weird in my mouth, and all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, for sure, like, touched
numbed
the stuff.
Numbed your own
mouth. Touched my mouth. It tasted really bad, and it felt weird, so... The thing I learned today is to not put Icy Hot in your mouth.
That's a good warning for people out there. Yeah.
So shout out to Icy Hot.
Shout out to Icy Hot, even though...
Great brand. A lot of good recovery things coming out.
A lot of good things going on.
Yeah, but shout out to Hazards.
I mean,
you got to pay attention
to
that.
Shout out to Hazards.
It did say on the thing, don't put in your mouth, so that was...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's a wrap. That's a freaking
wrap. Thank you guys so much.
Yes.
We appreciate all your
time.
Thank
you. We love you guys.
Boom. What a time. Bidets. Cannot stress that a little bit at the end there. Thank you guys for listening. What a phenomenal time. If you guys, you know, enjoyed it, let us know. 5-star review. Leave a comment. Like our stuff on Instagram. Everything. Reach out to us.
What a wild time that was. I mean, it was a total full roller coaster. We had every ebb and flow to, like, the casual conversation to deep intellectual thoughts. It was phenomenal. I loved it.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear your feedback on the episode. Hit us up at _thebackpocket on Twitter, The Back Pocket Podcast on Instagram. Let's collaborate together. We want to bring value to you guys, the listeners, the marketing interns. Get after it. Dick Hare, we will see you next week. Season 2, episode 36.
With Social Butterfly.
Butterfly.
Love
Take
it.
Care.
Take care.